Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
It's time to wake up with a nice cup of morning roast. Featuring
Fillmore's finest, Bronte Hill. The pride of the Excelsior, Joe Butcher Boy Shasky.
Take him out.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, the morning roast.
Picked up by Boston. Walsh will walk it across the timeline, and this one's over. Well, the defending champion Boston Celtics came to the Bay with a full squad, and the Warriors had to play a letter-perfect game to try to stay with the defending champs. They could not. The Warriors just shot the ball so poorly in the first half, and they end up losing 125-85. Another tough loss for Golden State.
Oh, baby, oh, baby, oh, baby, oh, baby. Ah, that was rough. And, yeah, they were far from perfect yesterday as they lost by 40. They lost by 40. It's the largest home loss since 1985. Largest home loss for the Golden State Warriors since 1985. Back on January 15th when they lost to the Dallas Mavericks for Mark Aguirre and Sam Perkins. I think Rolando Blackmon was on that team. They lost by 45 at the Coliseum, 149-105. Or excuse me, 149-104. Last night they lost by 40. They went through a 10-minute stretch in which they made one field goal yesterday from the first quarter through the second quarter. They scored a season low of points last night, or yesterday I should say, 85. And it was humbling for a lot of people. And look, I think what we could put to bed, Shasky, as we say good morning to everybody out there getting off their graveyard shift. If you are at work, what's up? All the firefighters, cops, everybody out there, good morning to you. Muni drivers, all the overnight dancers, you know what the drill is. Sorry, wasn't much money made yesterday for you. I think we can now put to bed that, hey, they're not in championship contention mode, which a lot of us already knew, but they've been blown out by the Cavaliers twice. They've been blown out by the Boston Celtics. They've been beat up by the OKC Thunder. They'll see them next week as well. So now we got to reevaluate the situation. In Dub Nation, I just wonder, where do you go from here? Draymond Green's going to get reevaluated in a week, and there goes my house of prime rib bet. That one's done in January. but, hey, I got to let you guys know my credit card limit is $250, so you can't get much. Maybe you may get some cream spinach in that dinner. But I don't know where you go from here. You have two decisions. You either ride it out through the summer or through the season and wait until the summer to make some moves, or you start getting busy right now on the rebuild or trying to build around Stephen Curry, because stars don't grow on trees, folks. You're not just going to go wake up, hey, let's go get a superstar, and somebody's going to cater to you. That's not how the real world works in professional sports.
I mean, you know, my dad used to always say, don't be mad that it's over. Be happy that it happened, you know? And I get everybody being angry. You don't want it to be over. We're in denial. We want it to go on forever. Everybody wants everything to go on forever, when we all know that sports is cyclical, more so than anything else in life. Almost like the seasons in a calendar. Like, you have your opportunities, you have your moments. Some of teams never touch what the Warriors have touched. I'm really grateful. And I know that people don't want to hear this morning. They want to cling and hang on to stuff. And I get that. Believe me, I get that. We don't have to agree. But my sense is, it's like, man, we've all, myself included, have been in denial over how difficult it is to maintain excellence and how spoiled we've gotten and how it does kind of feel like this particular run is over. Now, could things happen? Can they make moves? Of course, they're unlikely. It's not probable to be able to swing deals. But, you know, the amount of people that were coming at me on social media because I was just acknowledging the reality of where they're at.
Why do you care about that?
Saying, trade Kuminga for stars. It's so hard to whip up deals in this league. And you've been talking about it forever. You guys want to get rid of a bunch of used parts for a superstar. What about the team on the other end of that? They don't want your used parts. And so I'm left here this morning, and I have a different take than others. And if you don't agree with me, I get it. But like my thing is, damn. Bro, I watched my guy Steph Curry and the Golden State Warriors go to 6 finals.
Yeah.
Win 4 championships. All his contemporaries, B, are outside of LeBron and Kobe and Tim Duncan. All of them. Paul Pierce, 2 finals appearances, 1 title. Russ, 1 finals appearance, no titles. Dame, 0-0. Dirk, 2-1. Harden, 1-0. CP3, 1-0. Kawhi, 3-2. Paul George, 0-0. Dwayne Wade, now he went to 5-1-3. That's why Dwayne Wade's one of the greatest. Giannis, 1-1. Tatum and Brown, who you saw yesterday, they've been to 2 finals, 1-1. Jokic is 1-1. Luka, 1 and hasn't won. Like, Steph went to 6-1-4. What, do we think that we're entitled to 9? Like, yeah, believe me, I want to get one more. We all want to get one more. They've paid historic amounts of cash to try to keep this thing together as long as possible. And one of the icons of the franchise, he left. We've got another guy whose body's falling apart on him. Whether you like him, you think he's good or not, it doesn't matter. Like, Draymond's not there. And the rest of the team is either not in their prime, not good enough, or hurt and sidelined. Like, this is where we are. We're an 11 or 12 seed. And there's really not many opportunities to swing deals that swing you back into the top 4. I don't see a lot of deals that swing them into the top 6, let alone top 8, to get, like, a home game in the box. Like, the reality is that it's probably coming to a crashing thud. And yeah, that sucks.
Yeah, look, you want to be upset about the game yesterday. I worked with Monty Poole and Zeta yesterday. They brought up the word pride, having pride, just for yesterday. When you get beat like that by the Boston Celtics, they were up 15 at the half. It should have been up 30. They mentioned pride. And Steph Curry mentioned pride, that all of a sudden they don't make a couple baskets and they get deflated. And not quit, but they lose their competitive spirit. And that, to me, is a problem. That, to me, is a problem of Martin Luther King Jr. Day, where a lot of fans went out. I saw a lot of fans actually walk into the game. And when you question pride and competitive spirit, I don't care what your record is. I don't care how good you are. I don't care how bad you are. When competitive pride and competitive spirit gets questioned, then I sit back and scratch my head saying, oh, we've got issues here. Now you got things to shake up. Now you got people feeling a little too comfortable around here being cool. Like Stephen Curry, look, he was fighting and clawing in Boston. They were going at him defensively or on the offensive end. They were going at Steph Curry, involving him in all the actions. You know, pick and rolls, making sure you got switched on to Porzingis, Tatum. Didn't matter.
Porzingis was awesome.
And I look at this, and I look up, and I say, damn, Steph has 18. The other 4 starters have 18. And yet people want to trade for a superstar when you're getting this type of production. And it just doesn't, like, again, last season, everybody's like, oh, man, go make the big deal. Are you really that much better with Paul George? Are you really that much better with Larry Marketed? Are they really superstar players at this juncture in their careers? I don't think so. There's no star growing on trees. So you got a decision to make. You ride this out, but guess what? Dynasties come down, and when they end with the thud. Go ask the San Antonio Spurs. Go ask Kobe and Shaq with the L.A. Lakers. And Kobe and Shaq got traded. This thing, you know, boom, dud. Just sticking with the NBA.
Yeah.
You look at the Houston Rockets. They go back-to-back. The next year, they go get swept in the playoffs, and they never reach the mountaintop again. The New York Knicks could get to the – they got the one finals.
Yeah.
One. You know, with Pat, well, actually two with Patrick Williams, but the second one, he was a little compromised. But you mentioned we talk about the Celtics. When they won their one championship, KG gets hurt, boom, windows closed. This is how it ends in the NBA. It's never pretty. It's never pretty. It's not going to be a fairy tale story. So now what? Now what do you do? Because you're in the midst of this 9-game stretch, and you got the Kings on Wednesday, and they're licking their chops up at Sacramento. Then you have the back end of a back-to-back, and guess what? Bulls got some players. Zach LaVine, Kobe White, and Vooch. You know, and you don't have Draymond, you don't have Kuminga this week. And so what do you do? Or did the mistakes over the past 2 years, because now I'm starting to see the blame on everything, and I'm not going to do that. Everybody's culpable.
But that's kind of like, yeah, you know? That was kind of my point. Like, we want to blame. It's like, this is just kind of natural. Like, I'm talking about being at the end with depleted assets and not a lot around you, and everyone's older and they're all hurt. And like, this, show me, I know you wanted to stick to basketball. Show me a dynasty in any sport.
No, any sport.
That ended gracefully. I was looking, I was searching. I am open. I'm open to hearing any dynasty that ended beautifully.
You may go to a couple playoff runs after a championship.
Okay.
You may win a division after a championship. But when dynasties end, they end.
Ugly.
And it is hard to get back. Now, you may be able to sustain and be competitive and make some playoff runs, which I don't know if that's what people want. I don't know if people just want to be in the top six. I don't know if people want to be in the championship conversation. But they usually don't end well. And so the reason why I say the blame game is because that's what we do in sports nowadays. For whatever reason, the social media era has become the blame game era, where we always have to find a scapegoat. We always have to find a scapegoat. Last year, it was Klay Thompson, undeniably Klay Thompson. There was no doubt about it. Klay Thompson was basically the scapegoat of last season.
The year before was
Jordan Poole. The season before that was Jordan Poole and the youngsters, right? So it's the play-in tournament. The play-in tournament year, it was Joe Lacob not trying to win at the deadline when they had Kelly Oubre Jr. So you know what? Like, it's embarrassing how we do this in sports nowadays, where somebody's got to be the blame game, and this year is probably going to be a lot more Steve Kerr and Joe Lacob than others. But you know what? Players have to hold themselves responsible, and players have to hold themselves culpable. And now the Father Time, right? Father Time seems to be hitting Draymond Green right now. Left castrate, reevaluated in a week. May not be back for two. Who knows? Could be three. He's also dealing with the back injury. And so when you start to see, well, where did it start to go wrong? Well, I look back to training camp a couple seasons ago when you had an incident between Draymond Green and Jordan Poole, and the vibes evaporated. And so this year it was all about the vibes being good, They got to a 12-3 start. We're feeling good. But then reality hit. And you started playing some big boys, and now you're sitting here 21-21. And so what do you want to do, Dub Nation? 888-957-9570, because they were completely undressed yesterday by the Boston Celtics.
Well, I don't know if they're as bad as what they played yesterday, but clearly the gap between them and the legitimate contender, the defending champions, is it's Grand Canyon-esque, right? I mean, I think we just need to be like aware of what we're watching, and what we're watching right now, like, is a sneaky old team with a couple of young guys sprinkled in.
So,
like, I mean, which Wiggins in his 11th year?
Yeah, well, see, that's the problem. I'm looking it up. So we read a graphic yesterday on Post Game Live.
Give it to me.
The Warriors are the second oldest team in the league.
Just in general.
And so in general. Wow. I didn't know that. The second oldest team in the league.
Wow.
And so some people, Dubas, shout out to Dubas, he was texting me, he was like, really, outside of Steph and Dre, they're a young team? No, they're not.
Well, Wiggins is 11th year in the league.
Buddy Hield and Gary Payton II are 32 years old.
Yeah, that's old in the NBA.
You know, well-traveled.
Yeah,
very well-traveled. Dennis Schroeder's 31.
And he's got mileage on him.
Kyle Anderson, 31. Andrew Wiggins, 29, but he's been in this league
since he was 18 years old.
18 years old. Kevon Looney, 28. Pat Spencer's 28, and he's just learning how to play basketball.
I didn't know that.
Lindy Waters is 27. Lindy Waters III is 27 years old. Melton is 26, but he's gone now. So you get what I'm saying?
Yeah, no idea.
Your young guys are really young, and your old guys are old. And so when we think about prime years in the NBA, usually they're like 27 to 32, you know, 26 to 30. Well, Steph is still Steph, but I don't know if he's prime Steph. I don't think he's prime Steph. Draymond's not prime. Draymond.
Not even close.
Buddy Hield. Has he ever seen a prime? I don't know. I don't know. I'm just like,
poor Buddy.
You know, the poor Buddy.
I mean, he's not good.
I mean, poor Buddy yesterday.
I lost my mind the first couple weeks, and boy, do I feel foolish. They're not very good. I know.
6 points with Buddy yesterday. So, anyway. So
Porzingis blocked him and what's his name? And Wiggins at the rim.
They're the second oldest team in the league. In the league.
Well, and they're just slow. Just like the guys
they're
that they
slow,
have
small,
are physically
non-athletic,
slow.
You know,
not explosive.
It's not a recipe for success in the
NBA. No.
So I just asked Dub Nation. I'm going to sit back today, 888-957-9570. We do have Baldy coming up. We're going to talk some football with Brian Baldinger at 7:30 as we do every single Tuesday on the roast, courtesy of the River Islands guest line. But I do want to know from Dub Nation, what do you want to do now?
Can I ask you this question? Because you're talking about blame. And I'm not here to say that Joe Lacob is the smartest guy who ever ran a team, but I'm also not here to say that he's the village idiot. And I find it kind of funny. Like, I do. I find it funny how now we're like destroying this guy. All right. People do realize, like, since let's just say 1980, give or take. Like, if you started your career around 1980, like, it's Jordan, it's Pippen. They've got six titles. Kareem's got 61-1, well, you know, elsewhere. And then with the Lakers,
Milwaukee.
He got the five.
Yeah.
Rodman bounced around and got five titles.
Yep.
Magic got five with one team. Kobe got five with one team. And Duncan got five with one team.
Robert
We're talking
Murray.
About a handful of guys that you're looking up with in a 40-year period, a 45-year period, okay, who have been more successful on the floor than you. While the league has made it almost impossible for you to retain multiple players that you drafted and developed. They've made it more penal and more difficult than ever to try to navigate the salary cap system. And with the draft being as difficult as it is, we understand that you're not getting seasoned players that are coming out. You're not getting 3 and 4 year starters in these drafts like you used to. You're getting projects. You're drafting at the end of the first round, the end of the second round. It's more difficult than ever. And then try making a trade in the NBA when it comes to balancing the numbers.
I'm not here
to like make excuses. That's not what they've made bad picks. They've had bad development. They've done a difficult job managing the players that they've had. There's opportunities they had. They could have hit the eject button on certain players. I'm not here to say they've been perfect. My God, they've been to four finals. They won four finals
six.
And they've been to six. We are looking at one of the most unprecedented runs across American sports in the last 50 years.
It's NBA history.
But not everyone has to be an idiot.
You're addressing the online crowd.
It's the end of a run.
Listen, I don't care about the online crowd.
It's not just the internet. It's people that I discuss basketball with. People get frustrated. You're not going to bat 1,000.
Well, fans are short for fanatic, right? That's what it is. So, look.
It's hard to accept it, though. I get it.
To your point, no, it is what it is. That's why I keep mentioning, I'm going to find out who the real ones are. We're going to find out who the real ones are with the Giants. We're going to find out who the real ones are with the Niners. And we're going to find out who the real ones are with the Warriors. That's just, it is what it is. And so, you talk about, we should feel fortunate. Well, the Cleveland Cavaliers have one NBA championship. The New York Knicks haven't won since the 70s. The Bucks have two championships. They just won one with Giannis. Before that, they hadn't won since the 70s. They had Lou Alcindor and Oscar Robertson dropping triple doubles. The Pacers have never won before. The Hawks, I think they won maybe when they were their St. Louis Hawks with Bob Pettit back in the 50s. Orlando, they've never won. Miami's had success. Detroit's had success, so they're already up and up.
Yeah.
Philadelphia hasn't won since, what, 83? I want to say?
Well, yeah.
Or was it 82 when they swept the Lakers?
Moses Malone.
The Bulls. What have they done since Jordan and Pippen?
I mean, I'm literally nothing.
Flash in the pan with Derrick Rose and Joe Kim Noah.
They were fun.
They haven't been back to the mountaintop.
Lou Alden.
So I go down the list. The Brooklyn Nets, when they were the New Jersey Nets, they haven't won anything since they were the ABA. The Charlotte Hornets, an afterthought. They might as well play in Saudi Arabia. Nobody cares about them. The Raptors got their one championship. And the Wizards haven't won since the last 70s. I can go to the West. OKC/Seattle hasn't won since the late 70s. All right? Houston hasn't won anything since Hakeem Olajuwon in the mid-90s. You get my point here, folks. We have been blessed, but I'm not here to say, hey, let's rest on our laurels, let's be happy that they have championships.
No, I'm not saying wave the white flag.
I'm a forward thinker. How do you make this thing? How do you bring this back up? How do you become relevant again in the championship conversation or just in the playoff conversation? Do you press the reset button? Because we were having this conversation in the spring of last season. And then we had it again this summer. And we were afraid to bring it up. But I think a lot more people are bringing it up now. And I just said, boy, we're getting closer and closer to what do you do with Steph? That question and that conversation. And what does Steph want? And I know a lot of people watching that game yesterday was very deflated. Deflated. Watching Steph scratch and claw while his team's getting beat by 30 and 40. And it's like, damn, look at him out there. He's playing with pride. He's trying to do whatever he can to help will his team back. But now we're in that zone where the All-Star break is upon us in about less than a month. And the national media is going to come here, and they're going to send into the Bay Area, and they're going to say, you know what? Steph, what's going on? You still want to be a Warrior for life? And that's what's hitting us in the face. So what does Steph want, and how do you fix this thing? Because I'm not here to get comfortable about the wins or whatnot. I'm very thankful for what the Warriors have done.
Don't miss that break, doggy.
I won't miss the break. All right, well I'll continue this on the other side because I got some thoughts on this because I do want to know how you can fix this. How do we solve the problem with the Golden State Warriors? And the problem is they've got to get some pride players, but they don't grow on trees. What do we do?
I have
888-957-9570 is the number. We'll do that on the other side. Brought to you by Crystal Geyser Alpine Spring Water.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest, 100% organic cotton bedding from Bull & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with airy blankets, cloud-like duvets, and breathable sheets. You'll experience pure comfort on night one and feel your bedding get softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first order at bullandbranch.com with code ODYSSEY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Dub Nation is Buddy Hill. Listen to the Morning Roast with Bonte Hill and Joe Shasky on 95.7 The Game. You better hit those breaks, Bonte.
I'm 0 for 1 today, buddy. 0 for 1 today, buddy. As the Warriors lose yesterday, worst home loss since 1985 to the Dallas Mavericks. And Boston goes on a 14-1 run in the first quarter. The Warriors from the 7:20 mark? No, 5:20 mark of the first quarter up until the 7:20 mark of the second quarter. They had made one field goal.
They were at one point, they kept showing all these graphics. At one point, they were like 1 of 16 from 3.
Yeah.
Maybe it was
during that
worse.
Stretch. Yeah, it was during that stretch. Overall, in the first half, they went 3 of 20. Bad. Overall, they went 3 for 24 from the three-point line in the first half.
Ugh.
And then Boston comes out, drops 43 on them. In the third quarter, scores up by 19 in the third quarter alone. Jason Tatum had his way. I mean, Drew Holiday was Porzingis. They did whatever the hell they wanted to do yesterday. It wasn't even close. And they smacked the Warriors up. They smacked the Warriors up. At one point, the Celtics led by 45. And you heard the Buddy Hield rejoiner. They've got to get him going. I don't know what you do at this point. Since December 3rd, Buddy Hield in 23 games is shooting 37% from the floor and 31% from the three-point line. 31% from the three-point line.
What is he averaging?
During that stretch, he's averaging 9.6 points a game.
You know, you asked the question, like, where do you go from here? And look, the reality is that people might not want any of their players. I'm going to say that on the front end. I personally believe, and we've talked about this, but I think we went back a couple of weeks, like, look, am I here for the Zion trade? Sure, take a swing, whatever. Like, at this point, whatever. But I do believe if we're being pragmatic about this and we take a step back and you ask me, Joe, what is their quickest path to winning the playoff series? Doubling down on what they have currently and finding some used parts to just throw into the mix? Or selling off whatever you have and hoping you make a run in a year or two from now? I'm leaning in the direction of selling off some of their parts. But the problem is that I don't know who wants what. Does Andrew Wiggins, can you staple Andrew Wiggins to some expiring contracts like in return and a draft pick? Is that plausible? I don't know. I would think that a wing player who doesn't need to have the ball in his hands that often, who can contribute on a playoff team, I would think that would bring value. Now, what does a middle first to late first round pick do for you? Not much.
Yeah.
Like, not much. You want those lottery picks. Can you get anything for Draymond Green? Free up the number four spot, as in the power forward spot. I don't know. I don't know how many teams want to bring him in. You know, what do you do with Jonathan Kuminga? You know, like, is there a team out there that not only wants Jonathan Kuminga but wants to pay him $30 to $40 million? I don't know about that.
I'm very hesitant to trade Jonathan.
Yeah, I'd probably keep him, but I also have to understand if I keep Jonathan Kuminga, I have to be ready to pay him.
Yeah,
right?
No doubt. You got to pay somebody here. So
exactly.
But you look at this roster, Andrew Wiggins. I wouldn't want to trade him because I need wing defenders, but I understand what you're saying here. If you're going to replenish it, he's probably your most attractive asset here. And Andrew Wiggins has had a good year yesterday. Yesterday was a down game, 1-for-11 yesterday. He didn't have it. 4 points, 3 rebounds. He just didn't have it yesterday after 3 consecutive games in which he balled out. But the biggest signal of change, I think, to this fan base, if you say change, I want to see the Warriors change and evolve, or maybe turn a corner and turn a new leaf and start to build. The biggest change that you could possibly make, I think, in the eyes of this fan base that would signal, hey, we're moving in a different direction, would be moving off of Draymond Green.
Yeah. That would be the
biggest signal to changing. And I don't know if that's happening. And I don't know. I just don't know if that's happening. I don't know if that's plausible for this team. I don't know if it's feasible. I just don't know.
What about Steve Kerr? Would that be, if Steve, at the end of the year, for whatever reason, they did a, what do they call it, mutual parting? Would that be a bigger change than Draymond Green getting traded?
That would be a significant change. There's no doubt. That would be a huge change. I'd be a little worried about Steve Kerr because that San Antonio job might be open. He's got Victor Wembanyama down there with Stephen Castle and Steve Kerr be right back in the playoffs, contending for championships in no time down in San Antonio.
Look, those are two different questions.
No, I was just adding on to it. I'm not.
No,
your
no, I'm saying
is,
on Steve Kerr going somewhere else. Right. It's interesting you bring that up. I still think Steve Kerr in the right setting is a good coach. I don't know, and this is a different skill set. I don't know if he's the guy. In my eyes, he's a great coach. He's an all-time Warrior. I think I want something new strictly because he's been here for so long and you might need something new to usher you into a new era. And I don't think that's any disrespect to Steve. I think it's just reading the tea leaves. The way Phil Jackson jumped around a little, I would think Steve would want to bounce around.
We've got to be careful, though. He's made the Bay Area his home. He loves the Bay Area. He's not running him out of town. He's a California kid. And when we start saying things like, hey, maybe we just need to change just to see something different, well, we got to be careful because the Niners made some changes as we wanted to see something different with George Seifert. And I thought Mooch, he got a lot of heat, but you moved off of George Seifert because you lost in the divisional round to the Green Bay Packers after winning the damn Super Bowl. You know what I'm saying? And so it was like, all right, you're moving off of Seifert. You go to Mooch, that doesn't work out. Then you go to Dennis Erickson, and next thing you know, you have this tailspin for 10 years with the 49ers where they're just irrelevant. We got to be careful when we just say, hey, We want to we want to just see something different with the coaching staff. Because I hear Niner fans do it with Shanahan. I just want to see something different now. I'm tired of this Shanahan. No, whoa, wait a minute here.
Just on Steve Kerr for just a second. If I do go in the direction of going young, and if I do go in the direction of playing fast and doing all those things, I mean, is that what he wants to do philosophically?
Well, he wants to...
He's had a tough time, you know, connecting with the younger guys and adjusting his style of play. Now, to give him credit, he was explaining about the Draymond Green stuff. He goes, hey, when Draymond's off the floor, we actually run pick and roll twice as much as we do when he is on the floor. And he's basically telling you he would evolve if they got rid of Draymond Green.
He said basically that they play a traditional brand of basketball when Draymond Green's not on the floor, because Draymond Green is so unique in the sense that you're not going to get all the offense from him, which is why I'm saying triple threat. Sometimes you got to go one big lineup. You need scoring in this league. Yeah, you need stops. You need to play defense. And people try to say defense wins championships in the NBA. I think buckets get you championships in the NBA. Key buckets, crucial buckets, clutch time buckets. That's what helps you win, because a great offense will always be a great defense in the NBA, no matter what. So Steve Kerr, he wants his team to play fast. What, the Warriors are playing so fast? 2015, 2014, 2016, 20, they were playing fast. Pace of play, top five all the time, right? And I do think he gets hit with the, hey, he can't develop youngsters. Well, Jordan Poole developed. He developed well. Kevon Looney developed into a solid role player. I know it's been a little rocky with Jonathan Kuminga at times, but damn, Kuminga's getting better and better. He's developing, right? Stephen Curry developed to a superstar under Steve Kerr. Well, he was already there. He went to another level. He became unanimous MVP.
11
Klay
years
Thompson
ago.
Became one of the best two-way players in the NBA under Steve Kerr. Draymond Green got unlocked. He got inserted into the starting lineup, and boom, here we go. Four championships later, let's roll. Kevin Durant played his best basketball in this system. So I do believe Steve Kerr's a great coach. And look, this is where everybody's blaming Steve Kerr. They've had to go to 24 different starting lineups this year. 24. And there's a list of the top five teams that's had all these different lineups. It's Philadelphia, what's their record? They're awful. Philadelphia, the Warriors, Utah Jazz, New Orleans, and there's another team that is like out of the playoff hunt. You see a common theme there?
They're not very good.
You got to have consistency in your lineup. So that's why it's hard for me to go all in on Steve Kerr. People say, well, you can't criticize Steve Kerr. Look, you got to have talent in this league. Well, are the Warriors a talented team right now?
No. Look, like that. Mike Mulcairn's always used to say, Joe, when I had talent, I win. When I don't, you know, we struggle. I can only do so much. And he's 100% right. But I do think it's fair to just ask the question, is he prepared to go through this long, you know, rebuild? He might not want to. I'm not saying I'm running him out of town. I'm just asking the question.
He may want to go somewhere else. Who the hell knows? I don't know what Steve Kerr's thinking right now. I know he wants to get in the mud and try to figure this out and think this through and get this team to be competitive. But, man, we let him go. Be careful, because there could be some attractive jobs for Steve Kerr. We're going to get callers today. Sorry, 925. We'll get everybody. Chris in San Jose, Joe in San Francisco on the other side. You guys are right up. We'll get to you. Don't forget the 95-70 game knockout tournament. The second annual 95-70 game knockout tournament is back. We'll start qualifying folks January 27th, which is a Monday. We'll qualify people for 3 weeks, so you have plenty of chances to win and get an opportunity to shoot at Chase Center, where the Golden State Warriors play, of course, basketball. January 27th, 8 a.m. hour, 12 p.m. hour. 4 p.m. hour starting Monday, January 27th. Must be 18, must be a California resident. Chris in San Jose, Joe in San Francisco. We'll get you guys on the other side as we talk some Dubs here on the Rose. Brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good.
Yeah, we have an entirely different roster, pretty much, obviously, especially without Draymond out there. But you look across, you know, they have... Besides Porzingis, they have pretty much their whole rotation still. So, and they are the defending champs, so they're coming in with the level of, you know, confidence and swagger about them. And it's the exact opposite of what we have right now. So, yeah, obviously great memories, but definitely feels like a long time ago.
The Morning Roast is live on YouTube right now. Take it away, Bonte.
It is a distant memory, Steph. You're right. June 2022. What a time. Parquet floor. Warriors get banner number 4 and 7 since 2015 to 2022. Four banners during that time frame, and you got to smoke cigars on a parquet floor. Yeah, it feels like a long time. Feels like a long time ago. And since then, the Warriors have lost in the second round of the playoffs to the L.A. Lakers. They lost in the play-in to the Sacramento Kings. And right now, they're out of the box. And they need to get going here during this nine-game stretch. Two down during this nine-game stretch. They're now 1-1. And really, you can't overlook any opponent, whether it's Sacramento, Chicago, the Lakers. There's no gimmies during this nine-game stretch for the Golden State Warriors. As this segment is brought to you by Golden State, serving the Bay Area for three generations. When you succeed, we succeed. Visit GoldenStateLumber.com. Let's get the joy of the city. Joe, what's up? What's up, Joe?
Yo. What up, Bonte?
What's going on, man?
I believe Steve Kerr is a problem. I agree with Shasky.
I didn't say he was a problem, first off. I want to make that clear.
Well, not
I just question whether
problem.
He's the right. Like, would he want to stay if things got really ugly, if there were other options? And is he the guy with the identifiable skill set that you're looking for to mold for whatever your next version of team is? I'm just asking the questions.
I'm just so tired of these hobby ball lineups. And, I mean, did anybody look at that lineup that they trotted out there last night and think we had a chance at winning?
Let me ask you, Joe. Look, I'm not trying to defend Steve Kerr whatsoever. But what other lineups are you going to go to? And I get the small ball lineup, but
Keith
also
Santos
get the matchup. You're trying to match up with their players, right? You're trying to match GP2 up on either Jalen Brown or Derek White or Drew Holiday. You got Dennis Schroeder who could guard one of those guys. And you got a Jason Tatum problem, so you got Andrew Wiggins on him. He's going to guard Jalen Brown. I understand what you're saying, but I don't think he has many options right now. Joe's gone? I don't think Steve, everybody said, man, they're so small. Well, that's roster construction. That's roster construction. Not only that, what else do you want to do? This team came in and they thought all training camp was like, boy, we have a really good shooting team. We have a really good shooting team. We're going to get back to shooting. We have a really good shooting basketball team. We're going to be a better shooting team than we were a season ago. And there lies the problem right there. You were not better at shooting on this team this season.
Well, no, not only are they not shooting, but I think by design, when you have Draymond on your team, and this is not an indictment of Draymond, I'm just saying, he's a short four. He's an even shorter five. And when you're left with Looney and TJD as your other five options.
Yeah, you're a small team.
Exactly. And that goes back to roster construction, right? Like, if they had a 6'10 or 6'11 power forward, like, even if Kuminga or Moody was playing the four, they're pretty small.
Right.
Like, that's not big. Right. That's not lengthy. Like, and again, Cleveland's an outlier, but, like, Cleveland plays 2 7-footers a lot together, you know? And
But one plays down low, protects the rim. The other one can step out and shoot a jumper. And be an offensive threat.
100%.
And handle the ball and get to the rack and go to the rack and finish.
100%.
The Warriors don't have that.
And KP yesterday, Kristaps Porzingis, though he's been injured
right.
like crazy, you could see in that game, and again, this is one game, but you could see like he could step out, he'll hit a high pick and roll, and then he mm-hmm. can pop and bang. He can cut to the lane a little. He gets deep in the paint. Shaq was even talking about this. He gets that deep, it's done.
Done.
Like he's humongous.
Done.
They ran a play yesterday, and it was just, Bonte, all I have like a 50,000 inbound plays, and you're going to roll your eyes, CYO. They ran the most basic grammar school CYO inbound play to get their big going to the block. It was like the easiest play of all time. Wide open, layup, yep. Boom. Porzingis.
Yep.
It was a down screen by Jason yep. Tatum. That's all it was.
Yep.
There was nothing exotic. And I'm like, that's how, A, physically compromised this team is in terms of height and length, and B, the gap difference in talent. It's just they're not good.
And I thought TJD may struggle on a perimeter, try to guard Porzingis. That's a tough matchup for him. He's learning. He's in the second year. I'm not going to get on TJD for that. That's what Porzingis does. And that was the matchup that worried me because Porzingis can't get out in space. Therefore, your rib protector in TJD is now out on the perimeter. So who's protecting the rib? Steph? GP2? Wiggins? That's a tough ass. As the Warriors are, look, the Warriors from the 3-point line, they're middle of the pack. They shoot 14. They're 14th in the league when it comes to 3-point percentage, but their field goal percentage, their overall field goal percentage, their offense has done them in during this treacherous stretch. They're 25th in field goal percentage. So I asked Dub Nation 888-957-9570 if you have a complaint about the lineups. I'm looking at the lineups. What is Steve Kerr supposed to do? You want him to go back to Buddy Hield and start him? Moses Moody played 31 minutes yesterday, 5 of 13. Not bad. I like his activity level. Do you start him? Do you start Guy Santos? I mean, these are the options we're talking about here. So are we going to complain about it's? Look, it's the CBA. It's roster construction. It's what you could do. And I hear everything about like trading Chris Paul last year and maybe trading Clay. What realistically were you going to get for Chris Paul? A pick? A pick? So you would have got another young player? Now, the LeBron rumors were real. Which I told you about LeBron, like, in and get out just to get out. LeBron rumors were real. And then the Lakers said no. My guess is that Clay Kuminga probably would have been part of that deal. Then what?
Yeah.
You would have had another older player in LeBron James. And LeBron James, I don't get into plus minus, but ask Spadoni how he's played. He's played great offensively, but the Lakers are middle of the pack, too. And they're trying to make a move. So, 888-957-9570. I guess my question, I just keep coming back to it, Shasky. I know you got some questions here. But what exactly do you want the Warriors to do? What direction do you want them to go in? We all want them to win. We all want championships. But right now, it doesn't feel realistic. They're a 500 team. And by the way, they're a 500 team at home. Last year, they were 21-20 at home. This year, they're 11-11 at home. So you're not even winning home games. What do you do? What do you do? Do you believe, like I see the 650, he says the answers are here. It's Kerr's choices. So do you believe that Kerr's lineup combination, 650, is the reason why the Warriors are 21-21? Do you really believe that? Do you really believe that starters for the first 5 or 6 minutes of a basketball game is the reason why they're losing? Steve Kerr's lineup combination, it's like, come on, it's a talent thing. Right now, the Warriors don't have a lot of talent on this roster in terms of the hierarchy of the NBA. That's some good players who work hard. But would it lineup combinations are really go that route?
Well, you've talked a lot about like what bigs you play matter, like the type of big that you are and who you're playing. Like if you have two bigs, can they shoot? Can one of them shoot? Right? And for like Porzingis is a shooter. Like we know that. Like we know, and he's a unicorn. He's physically different. I look at someone like Al Horford. Al Horford is ancient. You know why Al Horford stays on the floor? Because he's developed a knockdown corner three.
Yep.
And I just a quick glance, the last four years, he has attempted 1,000 threes.
Mm-hmm.
He's made 400 plus. Okay, I'm going to say it again. He's attempted 1,000 threes. He's made 400. Why? Because he's going to get left open in that corner, given that offense. And he's the one guy who's like, I can live with an Al Horford three. Draymond Green, who's our big in a lot of these lineups and is one of them, has attempted 440. He's attempted only a couple more than what he's made.
Right.
And I don't think people understand how difficult and how constipated that makes the half-court offense for the others out there. Now, this isn't only a Draymond Green issue. This is also the other bigs that play alongside. Looney, TJD's not shooting threes. Looney's not shooting threes. And we don't really want Kuminga shooting threes all the time anyway.
And he became selective with his three-point shots, too.
But when I look around the league, okay, we're playing an archaic way of playing because of specific personnel that's required to play alongside staff and defensively and all that. And we're outdated, man. Like the league's completely evolved past us.
Well, I thought the perfect point. I go back to that Lakers series in the second round. Spadoni was working with me when they lost that game 4. And Lonnie Walker the fourth, I should say, had an epic fourth quarter. Epic. But you could see it in a Lakers series because everybody was like, well, Clay was awful. Well, the Lakers were smart. And the Kings were doing this as well. They were doing this as well, and then Steph hit 50. But when it came to the two big lineup, the Lakers said, okay, we know. And remember, the Warriors started Jermichael Green in one of the games. Remember
that's
that?
Right.
Remember that? They started Jermichael Green for like
totally
two games.
I forgot about that.
It worked for game 2, didn't work for game 3, and that was that. But with Draymond on the floor, Anthony Davis just camped out under the rim. He camped out under the rim. And what did they do? They doubled, hard double Stephen Curry, got the ball out of his hands, and they forced Klay Thompson to put the ball on the floor and become a playmaker. And we all know, we've been watching Klay for years. He's not a playmaker. He's a one dribble pull up type of guy,
no doubt.
Catch and shoot type of guy.
Yeah.
And the Lakers made him put the ball on the floor. And the half court offense is so damn constipated with no spacing, not to mention Andrew Wiggins had just come back. And right then and there, I thought, boy, the Warriors are going to have to evolve at some point. You can't have the two non-big lineups here. The NBA's evolving again. If you do go two bigs, one of those guys have to shoot. So to your point, whether it's Draymond, Looney, or TJD, You got to get some shooters out there, because when you have the, even with GP2 now, teams don't respect GP2's three-point shot. They barely even respect Andrew Wiggins' three-point shot. He's having a career year from the three-point line. You got to have shooters, or you got to have space, guys who could create space. And, I go back to Clay with this. Even on his worst days, he created spacing for Steph. On his worst days.
So they have a roster of guys that can't shoot outside of the greatest shooter of all time.
And their last of free throw shooting.
I mean, we haven't even played the Kenny Smith sound.
Oh, yeah, we will get
from
to
yesterday.
That.
Yesterday, like, and we'll get to it, but I
oh,
got...
Oh, well, we'll get to that in a second after Robin San Bruno.
Okay, let's go to Robin.
Yeah, we'll go to Robin San Bruno, because I agree with Kenny Smith.
Well, that's where I was going to go with all this.
I was like, Kenny's right.
Yeah.
Kenny's right. Robin San Bruno, what's up?
First off, I want to say this first. Shout out to Adam Peters for seeing the vision, you know what I mean, seeing the future, you know. He got him a brother at quarterback, and look at what they're doing. What a bad roster, but that's another day. But anyway, hey, Steve Kerr, look, the offense was designed for Steph and Clay. I don't think no other player want to come to the Warriors because they don't want to be playing in that system. You know what I'm saying? The players nowadays want to play free and use their ability. Little Kuminga, he's not being able to use his ability because y'all still want to play Draymond Green. So for the Warriors, I think it's time to let Kerr go. I think he won his rings, but you need a guy who can build the youth, develop the youth, and for the next chapter in Warriors basketball. Because honestly, these young NBA players don't want to play 40 and over basketball. They're not trying to run, shoot threes all day, set a pick. Nah, that's not what they're doing. They're trying to get up the floor and use their athletic ability and entertain the fans. The Warriors is playing their style of ball, but I gotta disagree with y'all. I'm putting this on Kerr because Kerr had opportunities to develop Wiseman. He chose not to. Wiseman can hit a pick and pop jumper. Wiseman can go down the lane and dunk. I mean, Wiseman and Hakeem Olajuwon, but in this era, he can get you, if you pay him 25 minutes a night, he's gonna get you 12 and 10 a night, 12 and 8, easy, just off dunks and mid range jumpers. But Kerr didn't want that when he did have him, so not having the right big is not an excuse for Kirby. That's what he likes. So at the end of the day, it's over. The Warriors had to run. And I just think they need to go a different direction because I don't think players, with the taxes that go on out here, I don't think players, this is not a place where they really want to go because they know they won't be able to do what they need to play every game. They got to play.
Rob, let me boil this down. Let me boil this down. And I want to, do you agree with me on this? At the end of the day, if a lot of things are equal, because the way the NBA is, like, a lot of the max deals are, guys want to have fun and win. And right now, this is not a place. Right now, it doesn't feel like a place where people can have a lot of fun and win.
Well, no, because these, which Steph, Clay, and them boys did was win these championships. Now, all the fans and the organization, oh, we got to win a championship. Now, there's no fun in watching the games no more. It used to be fun just seeing the Warriors develop and watch the games. Now all fans think about, oh, we got to win the championship. Mm-hmm. Oh, we a championship. No, you're not a championship team.
Exactly.
So until fans get that into their head, and then, like I said, Kerr, a good coach, but for this particular team, they need a Mark Jackson type to build it up. And then you want to circle back to Steve Kerr when they get right, do that. But you need somebody who can build these youngsters up. Just like Kerr, just like Mark built up Clay, built up Steph. You know what I'm saying? And it's the same thing. So I don't think Kerr that type of coach, to be honest with you.
And also, well, here's the thing, though.
The downfall is near, and it's coming hard.
Oh. It is coming hard. As you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM, and HG1, San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app. It, one thing, you know, everybody is pinpointing, like, boy, why do the Warriors keep selling for threes yesterday against Boston? Why do they keep chucking up threes? The answer is simple. Outside of Stephen Curry, who can blow by their man and penetrate
Nobody.
And kick? You know what I'm saying?
No, so maybe Schroeder.
Right, maybe Schroeder sometimes.
Yeah, Schroeder.
But he holds onto the ball so damn long, and the ball sticks in his hands. And this fit with Dennis Schroeder, God bless his soul. His family just came back to the Bay not too long ago.
He's
happy, but I knew this would be an uphill battle for him. Playing in this system where he's going from heavy pick and roll with the Brooklyn Nets, having the ball in his heads, and going to the rack, to now playing .5 basketball to where you got to make decisions left and right, and you're not touching the ball as much as you want. You've got nobody really who could blow their take their man off the dribble. And that's why it hurt watching Jordan Poole do what he did Saturday. It was like,